Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, August 21st, 2019. Coming up this hour,
President Trump dismisses concerns of a U.S. recession due to the trade war.
The fact is, somebody had to take China on. My life would be a lot easier if I didn't take China on, but I like doing it because I have to do it.
The president also considers a tax cut for capital gains.
U.S. futures rise as Haven assets slump.
Tensions rise as China holds a U.K. Hong Kong consulate staffer. Plus, President Trump's trip to Denmark is off because Greenland is not for sale. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Bushka. Coming up in sports, despite a pair of big flies in Oakland, the Yankees came up short while the Mets scored seven unanswered runs to bury Cleveland.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Interactive Brokers, rated number one best online broker in 2019 and low-cost online broker for the 18th consecutive year by Barron's. Learn why at ibkr.com/yib.
And U.S. futures and European shares are gaining as Haven assets slump. 601 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 20 points, Dow futures up 153, and NASDAQ futures up 64. The DAX in Germany is up 1.1%, the FTSE 100 up about the same, CAC in Paris up 1.4%. Nikkei 225 in Japan was down 0.25%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong gained about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 9/32, yield 1.58%, yield on the 2-year 1.53%. COMEX Gold is down 0.33%, or $4.90, to 15.1080 an ounce. The euro 1.1097 against the dollar, and the yen is at 106.47. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with President Trump floating the idea of cutting capital gains and payroll taxes to help boost the economy.
I would love to do something on capital gains. We're talking about that. That's a big deal, goes through Congress. Payroll tax is something that we think about, and a lot of people would like to see that.
The president says he can cut taxes by indexing capital gains to inflation without congressional approval.
President Trump also discussed the trade war with China while speaking to reporters, saying he's not ready to make a deal. He's also pushing back against fears of a recession.
I am doing this whether it's good or bad for your statement about, will we fall into a recession for 2 months, okay? The fact is, somebody had to take China on. My life would be a lot easier if I didn't take China on, but I like doing it because I have to do it.
Meanwhile, Vice President Mike Pence is tying trade talks to protests in Hong Kong, saying an agreement hinges on Beijing honoring commitments to Hong Kong. The remarks are part of a speech delivered at the Detroit Economic Club.
We're in the midst of productive discussions with China, and they'll continue in the weeks ahead. But for the United States to make a deal with China, Beijing needs to honor its commitments.
Secretary of State Michael Pompeo is also weighing in on the situation in Hong Kong, calling on China to respect protesters' rights.
U.S. comments on trade in Hong Kong were met with mixed sentiment from investors in Asia today. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Japanese equities fell while shares fluctuated in Hong Kong and China and rose in South Korea. The gain in the KOSPI came despite disappointing trade numbers showing exports in the first 20 days of the month fell 13% from a year earlier. Semiconductor sales plunged 30%, while shipments to China, the biggest buyer of South Korean goods, were down 20%. South Korea's overall imports fell 2.4% for the first 20 days of August from a year earlier. Australia's market posted one of the worst declines in the region as the ASX 200 fell close to 1%, as iron ore futures here in Singapore slid more than 5% to levels not seen since March as demand woes fueled the bear market slump. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. Bond yields in Italy are falling after the resignation of Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte. Still, yields on BTPs remain more attractive than other European debt. We get more from Bloomberg FX strategist Richard Jones.
I think we'll probably see a cap in BTP yields, irrespective of what the political concerns are, because the ECB will be in there to support the market. That's not to say it's not going to be volatile, but net-net, the fact that there is a big buyer, and also I think there will be a bit of a scramble for yield, will continue to make BTPs attractive. It's not going to be for everybody, but there will be buyers out there.
Up next for Italy, President Sergio Mattarella meets with political leaders to determine whether a new ruling coalition is viable or if the country must hold fresh elections.
The world's first 30-year bond offering, a zero coupon, saw weak demand today. The German government sold more than $900 million in 30-year bonds at a record low yield of negative 11 basis points. Germany had been targeting a sale of more than twice that amount.
Here in the U.S., we get minutes from the Federal Reserve's latest meeting at 2 p.m. Wall Street time. A lot has happened since July's policy decision, but traders will still watch for details on the talk that led to last month's rate cut. We get more from Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice.
Economists will divine today's report for clues and policy divisions. In a Bloomberg interview this week, Boston Fed President Eric Rosengren said central bankers shouldn't ease again unless the domestic outlook worsens. Rosengren voted against last month's rate cut, as did Kansas City Fed President Esther George. Fed Chair Jerome Powell described July's quarter point cut as sort of a tweak, a mid-cycle adjustment. Also on today's economic agenda, data on existing home sales. Economists anticipate an increase. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Vinnie. San Francisco Fed President Mary Daly doesn't think the U.S. is headed for recession. At the same time, she warns fears of a downturn could be damaging. Daly says if sentiment gets out of sync with economic data, recession fears could become a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Brent crude back above $60 a barrel after an industry report pointing to lower U.S. stockpiles. Up next, we get official data from the Energy Information Administration at 10:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Bloomberg's Jessica Summers reports.
U.S. crude inventories are expected to decline for the first time this month. The industry-funded API reported supplies fell 3.45 million barrels, but the big focus will be on stockpiles at the Cushing, Oklahoma storage hub. The API said Cushing stocks dropped by 2.8 million barrels. Now, that would be the biggest decline since February 2018, if EIA data confirms it. In New York, I'm Jessica Summers, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jessica, thank you. Right now, NYMEX crude oil is up 0.9% or 54 cents at $56.66 a barrel. Brent is up 1.4% at $60.85. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. It's 6:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. China has confirmed it has detained an employee of the UK consulate in Hong Kong. The Chinese Foreign Ministry says the consulate worker, Simon Cheng, has been held under a 15-day administrative detention process. Here's Bloomberg's Karen Lee.
Cheng's disappearance fuels concerns about the safety of diplomatic staff in China after the 28-year-old was revealed to be missing Tuesday after failing to return from an August 8th meeting in the border city of Shenzhen. He hasn't contacted his family since. In Hong Kong, Karen Lee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's an apparent change for President Donald Trump when it comes to possible action on guns. Reports say President Trump and NRA Chief Wayne LaPierre have been talking, and the president now says he does not support universal background checks. President Trump is canceling a scheduled trip to Denmark next month. Bloomberg's Morten Butler tells us why.
President Trump will not meet with Denmark's prime minister because she doesn't want to talk about selling Greenland. He tweeted he'll postpone the meeting, saying Copenhagen had saved a lot of effort by being so direct. Danish Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen has said the island isn't for sale, calling the whole discussion absurd. In Copenhagen, Morten Butler, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Morten, thank you. It is 6:08 on Wall Street. Let's get to the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update now. Good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. The Yankees knew it was going to be a tough road trip visiting the A's and Dodgers, but this isn't what they had in mind. As the A's teed off and were the ones flexing their offensive power, both early and often, en route to a 6-2 win at the Coliseum to open the three-game set. Back-to-back home runs for the A's in the first inning, including one by Matt Olson. Domingo Herman suffered a rare loss, his third against 16 wins. The Yankees actually out-hit the A's 11-9, and everyone in the lineup had a hit except Austin Romine. Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez homered in a losing cause. Yankees still carry a 10-game lead into Wednesday because the Rays lost again to the Mariners. Yankees are tied with the Dodgers for the best record in baseball. Tonight at 10 o'clock, it's Jay Happ versus Mike Fiers. Mets return home and continue to carry a big stick. This time, it was Michael Conforto.
Here's the 1-2 to Conforto. Swing and a drive deep to right field. Puig's going to just watch it go. And it is gone right to the front of the Shea Bridge.
Mets Radio 9-2, they beat Cleveland, both starters getting the decision as Steven Matz beat All-Star MVP Shane Bieber. The Mets scored 7 in the last 3 frames to break a 2-2 tie. The win keeps the Mets on pace with the Phillies as both clubs are 2 out of the wild card, trailing the Nationals and Cubs. Series rolls on from Citi Field as Adam Plutko battles Marcus Stroman. Former Yankees and Mets pitcher Octavio Dotel has been arrested in the Dominican Republic for being linked to drug trafficking and money laundering. And in the NFL, the Jets have signed linebacker Stephon Anthony, who was released Sunday by the Falcons. He's 6'3", 245. He was the Saints' first-round pick in 2015. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, Rob, thanks. In other sports news, Major League Soccer has officially added its 28th franchise. The new team in St. Louis will begin playing in 2022. It'll be the first MLS club majority owned by women, led by members of the Taylor family, which founded the car rental company Enterprise. 7 women in that family will be part of the new St. Louis soccer ownership group. In other news stories this morning, Jewish American organizations are denouncing President Trump for saying this.
I think any Jewish people that vote for a Democrat, I think it shows either a total lack of knowledge or great disloyalty.
The president made that comment as he renewed his criticism of Democratic Representatives Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar, Muslim women who are critics of Israel's treatment of the Palestinians. The executive director of the Jewish Democratic Council of America says President Trump was repeating an anti-Semitic trope. Taking a look at the markets this morning, it is risk on with S&P futures higher by 19 points. Dow futures up 150 points. NASDAQ futures higher by 61 points. The DAX in Germany up 1%. The CAC in Paris higher by 1.4%. The 10-year down 9/32nds, yield 1.58%. 2-year treasury yield 1.53%. West Texas Intermediate crude oil is up 1%, up 57 cents at $56.70 a barrel. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, we preview the Fed minutes and look ahead to Chairman Powell's Jackson Hole speech with Bloomberg Chief U.S. Economist Carl Riccadonna. Stay with us. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Fed watchers want to know what would push the central bank to keep cutting rates. San Francisco President Mary Daly says she's worried fear of a recession becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. We get minutes from July's policy meeting at 2 p.m. Wall Street time. The trade war may continue until the 2020 election. That's according to Mike Pompeo. CNBC reports the Secretary of State says hurdles remain to an immediate agreement. China confirmed that it's holding a UK consulate employee in Hong Kong. He faces allegations of violating local law and threatening to worsen ties between the countries. And President Trump has cancelled a state visit to Denmark after its prime minister refused to put Greenland on the selling block. The president had been due to make his first visit to Denmark on September 2nd. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
Hannah, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are up 20 points. Dow futures up 156, and NASDAQ futures are up 62. The DAX in Germany is up 1%. 10-year Treasury down 7/32nds, yield 1.58%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.53%. NYMEX crude oil up 1% or 58 cents at $56.71 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.3% or $4.30 to $15.1140 an ounce. The euro, 1.1097 against the dollar. The yen at 106.4. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Tom Busby with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, and thank you. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, author of a law that extended special privileges to Hong Kong, says that Beijing, quote, must know the Senate will reconsider that special relationship, among other steps, if Hong Kong's autonomy is eroded. McConnell made his comments in an op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal. Democratic frontrunner Joe Biden dismissed President Donald Trump's idea of lowering the capital gains tax as a way to stave off an economic downturn. Biden, speaking in Ohio, said, "What we should be doing is we should be focusing on how you re-empower the middle class." In baseball, the Yankees lost to the A's 6-2. The Mets won, along with the Orioles. The Red Sox, Nationals, and Giants all lost. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Tom Busby. This is Bloomberg. Nathan?
All right, Tom, thank you. It's 6:20 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's bring in Carl Riccadonna, Chief U.S. Economist for Bloomberg Economics, with the Fed in focus for sure this morning, with the minutes from the July meeting due out at 2 p.m. Wall Street time and the Jackson Hole Symposium coming up. Carl, good morning. What insights are you expecting today into the mid-cycle course correction?
Well, this year has been a year of 50th anniversaries, whether it's Woodstock or the moon landing. So in that same spirit, we'll look back towards the Watergate era and the famous line, what did they know and when did they know it? And that's really the lens through which we have to interpret today's FOMC minutes, because at the July 31st meeting, they were talking about maintenance cuts and mid-cycle course corrections or adjustments. They did not know that the trade war was about to take another leg down in terms of escalation with all of the tweets that came very shortly thereafter really led to a flight to quality and a sense of risk aversion in the financial markets. So things have changed a lot since that meeting. And so anything in those minutes that suggests that trade tensions are steady or maybe even improving, I think we can just rip those pages right out and throw them away.
Yeah, you got to think that the Fed has at least got to be considering some kind of correction to the course correction, given all the arisen trade uncertainty, no?
Absolutely. So it's a mid-cycle adjustment is exactly how Jay Powell termed it. We're still mid-cycle, and I'll still consider it to be an adjustment. It's just going to be a bigger adjustment. And so, in fact, just this morning, my team officially published a change to our Fed call. Previously, we had been looking for one more cut this year in the fourth quarter. Now, in light of the strength we've seen in the dollar, the risk aversion in markets, and also the flattening and even semi-inversion of the yield curve. For instance, if we look at 10 yields now, very close to inverting, and they've briefly visited that territory. So in light of that, we're now anticipating Fed rate cuts at all of the remaining meetings of the year. So 25 bips in September, again in October, and again in December. So we are adjusting our call, and as I'm reading through my notes this morning, I see a number of other institutions recently following the same path.
Is that the main thing that the Fed is watching at this point, the shape of the yield curve, or is data dependency still part of the story here?
Well, it's data dependency, but it's both economic and financial data. And as we look at the economic data, things look pretty decent. The pace of hiring is good. Retail sales, for instance, in July were very strong. Business investment has been somewhat weak, and so has housing. But consumers really do look like they're well poised to carry us through. That being said, the financial data, right, the Fed is data dependent on financial data as well, has signaled more troubling developments. And so the flatness and potential inversion of the yield curve, and also really the strength in the U.S. dollar and volatility in the equity markets are all rattling corporate confidence. And the Fed wants to tamp that down to the fullest extent possible in the relatively near term.
In our last minute here, so how does all this set us up for Jackson Hole when Chairman Powell speaks on Friday, particularly given a lot of the other Fed speak we've heard this week, talking down the threat of recession?
Well, could there be a better theme than challenges to monetary policy for this year's Jackson Hole Symposium? I don't think so. And so I think that he won't particularly extend specific guidance on the number of rate cuts needed. He could maybe suggest that, the mid-cycle adjustment he alluded to in July wasn't just that July cut, but that there would be further easing needed. But he'll definitely back away from the specificity in that regard. The question in my mind, as we look at challenges for monetary policy in a world of low yields and slowing growth, the major questions will be those pertaining to additional quantitative easing. The ECB is likely to pursue this in a month or two.
Carl Riccadonna, Chief U.S. Economist, Bloomberg Economics. Again, the FOMC minutes due out at 2 p.m. Wall Street time. Jackson Hole Symposium begins tomorrow. A lot of Fed focus as we head into the rest of this week. This is Bloomberg. And it's 6:25 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, President Trump pushes back at recession worries and talks tax cuts, plus a fuller check of the markets and all the latest news in business, economics, and finance. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130
to Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991
to Boston.
Bloomberg 1061
to San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960
to the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119
and around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures and European stocks are gaining as traders assess the latest headlines on trade and monetary policy. President Trump says he's still not ready to make a deal with China and is pushing back against worries about a U.S. recession.
I think the word recession is a word that's inappropriate because it's just a word that certain people, I'm going to be kind, certain people in the media are trying to build up because they'd love to see a recession. We're very far from a recession. In fact, if the Fed would do its job, I think would have a tremendous spurt of growth.
And the Fed will be in focus today when we get minutes from July's policy meeting at 2 p.m. Wall Street time. We get more from Bloomberg FX strategist David Finnerty.
If you look at market price at the moment, there's still basically two rate cuts forecast this year, with September being a hot favourite for next one. And I think the Fed minutes, even though they're a bit old, I think they're going to come out with this more of a neutral approach. Remember back to what Jerome Powell said at the time. He goes, this isn't the start of a series of cuts, it's maybe one or two. And I think the minutes will back that up.
Meanwhile, San Francisco Fed President Mary Daly doesn't think the U.S. is headed for recession. At the same time, she warns that fears of a downturn could be damaging. Daly says that if sentiment gets out of sync with economic data, recession fears could become a self-fulfilling prophecy.
President Trump is floating the idea of cutting capital gains and payroll taxes to help boost the economy.
I would love to do something on capital gains. We're talking about that. That's a big deal, goes through Congress. Payroll tax is something that we think about, and a lot of people would like to see that.
The president says he can cut taxes by indexing capital gains to inflation without congressional approval.
Bonds in Italy are gaining after the resignation of Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte. President Sergio Mattarella meets with political leaders today to determine whether a new ruling coalition is viable or if the country must hold fresh elections.
The world's first 30-year bond offering a zero coupon saw weak demand today. The German government sold more than $900 million in 30-year bonds at a record low yield of negative 11 basis points. Germany had been targeting a sale of more than twice that amount.
And we're watching shares of Target. They're up 6.4% in early trading right now. Earnings are crossing the Bloomberg. Second quarter profit from continuing operations beating analyst estimates. Comp sales beating as well. It raised its guidance for the year. Futures are higher. S&P futures up 20 points. Dow futures up 158. NASDAQ futures up 63. 10-year Treasury down 8/32. The yield 1.58%. And the yield on the two-year, 1.53%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, it is 6:33 on Wall Street. Now let's check the latest world and national headlines. China has confirmed it is holding a U.K. consulate employee in Hong Kong on allegations of violating local law as protesters plan to rally for his release outside the diplomatic mission. A Chinese foreign ministry spokesman says the consulate worker Simon Cheng was being held under a 15-day administrative detention process in the mainland city of Shenzhen. Cheng is 28 years old and a citizen of Hong Kong. He was discovered missing yesterday after he failed to return from an August 8th meeting in Shenzhen. It appears President Trump is backing away from supporting stronger gun control laws. Bloomberg's Martin DeCaro reports.
When asked whether he still backs very meaningful background checks, the words he used after the shooting massacres in Texas and Ohio, President Trump told White House reporters,
"We have very, very strong background checks right now."
Trump said he'd prefer to focus on the notion mental illness causes gun violence, warning that stricter firearms laws could lead to the end of the Second Amendment.
They call it the slippery slope. and all of a sudden everything gets taken away. We're not going to let that happen.
The president reportedly spoke on the phone to the head of the NRA and assured him universal background checks for gun buyers are off the table. In Washington, Martin DeCaro, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Trump has taken a visit to Denmark next month off the table because the country's leader is calling the idea of selling Greenland to the U.S. absurd. Denmark is a founding member of NATO and a key U.S. ally in the war in Afghanistan and against Islamic State. A leading member of the Danish government bloc this morning called Trump's behavior hopeless. A former prime minister says the decision is deeply insulting to the people of Denmark. Senator Bernie Sanders is responding to President Trump's comment about Jewish American voters. The president said Jewish voters who support Democrats show either a total lack of knowledge or great disloyalty. Sanders, running for the Democratic presidential nomination, responded in Sioux City, Iowa last night, saying he is a proud Jewish person.
I have no concerns about voting Democratic. And in fact, I intend to vote for a Jewish man to become the next president of the United States.
Jewish American organizations are denouncing President Trump's remark as well. The executive director of the Jewish Democratic Council of America says Trump was repeating an anti-Semitic trope. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. The Yankees kicked off their toughest road trip of the year, starting in Oakland before moving on to L.A. for a possible World Series preview against the Dodgers this weekend. New York isn't much of a silver linings club, but Aaron Judge's shot impressed even longtime Yes announcer Michael Kay.
Drew, deep to left field. There it goes.
A tape measure shot 467 feet for Judge's 13th of the year. Gary Sanchez club number 27, but the Yankees fell 6-2 to open a three-game set. Domingo Germán took the loss, still 16-3 on the year. New York leads the East by 10 over Tampa Bay, who lost to Seattle, and they share the best record with the Dodgers, who they'll visit Friday. Mike Fiers hosts Jay Happ tonight at 10 o'clock. Mets open a homestand, picking up where they left off on the winning track as they roughed up Cleveland 9-2 without Pete Alonso homering. Michael Conforto did as New York scored 7 unanswered runs. Skipper Mickey Callaway.
They're relentless in their approach. No matter who comes in, they're up there grinding it out. Timely hitting, a key big hit usually starts it. Conforto's homer, you know, get to their lesser pitchers and you add on.
New York is tied with Philadelphia for the wild card, 2 games behind Washington and Chicago. Marcus Stroman welcomes Adam Plutko tonight at Citi Field. And in the NFL, the Jets look to shore things up in the middle. They signed linebacker Stephon Anthony, who was recently cut by the Falcons. He was a first-round pick of the New Orleans Saints back in 2015. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, Rob, thanks. It's 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
Private equity, a form of investing that typically involves assuming control of companies, is among the most controversial areas of finance. Now, with the new bill, Elizabeth Warren has sparked debate about how to curb its more predatory aspects. Her plan includes some good ideas, but still needs work. One reasonable provision would halt the fees that private equity firms extract from target companies. Another would prohibit special dividends in the 2 years after an acquisition. This could push firms to focus on improving businesses, not extracting cash. But another provision strikes at a foundation of modern capitalism: limited liability, the idea that shareholders shouldn't be responsible for a company's debts. The bill makes an exception for general partners in private equity firms. This could kill private equity as an investment strategy, hardly a net gain for the economy. Policymakers are right to look closely at private equity, but they shouldn't take a sledgehammer to it. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. 6:38 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Patrice Sikora.
Representatives of 180 nations are meeting in Geneva to agree on protections for threatened species, both animal and plant, taking up issues including the trade in ivory and the demand for shark fin soup. The World Wildlife Conference on Trade and Endangered Species takes place every 3 years with the goal of making sure that global trade in wild animals and plants doesn't jeopardize their survival. 3 months ago, the first comprehensive UN report on biodiversity warned that extinction is looming for more than 1 million species of plants and animals. Demand is diverse for animal and plant products, prized for their medicinal properties or as pets, culinary delicacies, and products for knitwear and handbags. The meeting's agenda includes proposals to change and mostly strengthen protection among vulnerable or endangered species. But some argue protection should be downgraded because the populations have stabilized or even increased. Officials say the decisions are based on science, not political or other considerations. That's a Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Patrice Sikora.
All right, Patrice, thanks. We continue to watch shares of Target in the pre-market. They're up nearly 8% after the retailer boosted its adjusted earnings forecast for the full year and had a guidance midpoint that beat the average analyst estimate. Some other stories we're watching today: sky-high prices and recession fears appear to be having an impact on U.S. housing. Toll Brothers, the nation's largest publicly traded luxury home builder, says purchase agreements have fallen 3% from a year ago. Norway's trillion-dollar wealth fund rising more than $28 billion in the second quarter. That's a 3% return. Norway's biggest stock holdings remain Microsoft, Apple, and Amazon. And the cinematic future of Spider-Man is up in the air. Bloomberg News has learned a dispute between Disney and Sony threatens to end their co-production of Spider-Man movies, with Disney pushing for a bigger share of the profits. Futures pushing higher, with S&P futures up 20 points, Dow futures up 158, and NASDAQ futures higher by 65 points. The 10-year Treasury yield, 1.58%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's just before 6:41 on Wall Street. President Trump talks tax cuts, Denmark, and Jewish loyalty. Lots to get to with Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. She joins us next on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are higher this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are in the green right now. Dow futures up 165 points. S&P's gained 21, while NASDAQ futures climb by 67. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.59%. Gold is down 5. And Shanghai was little changed overnight. Well, European markets are climbing, led by 1.8% gains in Italy. Back in the U.S. on the economic front, at 10 o'clock, existing home sales, and at 2 o'clock, the minutes from the FOMC. After the bell last night, Toll Brothers EPS beat the highest estimates. And regarding some of the earnings this morning, Lowe's EPS also beat the highest estimates. Shares are up 8% in the pre-market. And Target guided higher for the year. Its shares are up 6% pre-market. In other news, Home Depot's price target was raised to $240 over at UBS. And wrapping things up, J.P. Morgan was downgraded to hold over at DZ Bank, while ServiceNow was upgraded to buy over at Stifel. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And here live breaking news over your Bloomberg. Type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Tom Busby with more on what's going on around the world. Tom.
Thank you. China says a staffer at the British consulate in Hong Kong has been given 15 days of administrative detention. That's in the Chinese city of Shenzhen. At a daily briefing today, a foreign ministry spokesman offered no details about why Simon Cheng was being detained. President Trump announced in a tweet his planned visit to Denmark is not happening because Greenland isn't for sale. A spokesman for Denmark's Royal Palace says Trump's decision to postpone a visit to Denmark next month was a surprise. In baseball, the Yankees lost to the A's 6-2. The Mets won, along with the Orioles. The Red Sox, Nationals, and Giants all lost. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Tom Busby. This is Bloomberg. Nathan?
All right, Tom, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Trump speaking this afternoon to the American Veterans Convention in Louisville, Kentucky. President, as Tom mentioned, canceling a meeting in Denmark, a visit there, due to a dispute over Greenland. And the president saying American Jews who vote for Democrats either show a lack of knowledge or great disloyalty. Also making news, the president weighing tax cut options even as he says the U.S. is far from recession. For more, we're joined by Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. And, Kate, I asked one of our earlier guests whether there's something of a disconnect here between the president saying the economy is doing just great while talking about needing tax cuts to further stimulate the economy. What's the message from the president here?
Well, I think there's two things kind of going on here. One of them is the president just generally trying to offer reassurances that there are policy constructs in place to deal with a possible economic downturn if that does occur. I think the other thing that's happening is that the president is kind of dangling the idea of a tax policy, taking another look at tax policy in a way that would likely benefit, the more wealthy parts of the tax base, wealthy taxpayers to a higher degree. And I think that that's, kind of sending a message to wealthy voters that might have supported him last time around that he'll be here this time around as well.
Now, what we're talking about, of course, is the idea of indexing capital gains to inflation. The president says, obviously, it's something he's been looking at for months and that he can do it without Congress's say-so. Is that the case?
Well, like many things that President Trump says, it's not quite that simple. He may assert that he does have the power to do that. That's something that, as he said, has been on the table, by all reports for a while. But certainly if he did try to take that action or take that step, he would almost certainly be met with legal challenges. The reason why the president would look to do it that way is because the idea of indexing capital gains taxes to inflation would be something that would be pretty much dead on arrival in the democratically controlled House. So doing it unilaterally through the executive branch would be the only likely way it's going to get done before the election. So we could see Trump, making the attempt to do it and then having it play out in the courts as we have with several other actions that Trump has taken.
Does this point to an opening for Democrats in terms of making tax policy an issue in the race?
Well, absolutely. I think Democrats are trying to cast themselves as the party that is going to be more beneficial to the middle class. And, as a corollary to that, cast Trump, which, some of his policies do back up, as the president who's looking to provide benefits to wealthy Americans at the expense of middle class and working class Americans. And so I think that this proposal or, sort of half proposal from the White House, this idea of indexing capital gains to inflation is something that plays into Democrats' hands. We already saw frontrunner Joe Biden come out and quickly dismiss this as an option. And I think that it puts the presidential debate a little bit more on the turf that Democrats probably want to be debating on, which is economic and tax policy.
A lot the president got to in his meeting with Romania's president. Let's see how much we can get to. What to make of this statement from the president that American Jews who vote for Democrats either show a lack of knowledge or great disloyalty?
Well, I think this is, in some ways, on its face, it's a bit of a surprising statement from a U.S. president. But when you dig a bit deeper and look at the feud that the president has engaged in with two members of Congress, Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib from Michigan and Minnesota, I think that it's not that surprising. We know that he has been very critical of their comments regarding Israel. They have both supported a boycott of Israel based on Israel's treatment of Palestinians. And that has translated into last week there was some talk about Israel banning them from Israel took the move to ban them from entering the country because of those comments. And now I think what we're seeing from Trump is an attempt to extrapolate out from their comments to Democrats more broadly and sort of try to gain support from Jewish voters by attempting to paint all Democrats with the same brush.
How is the president's comment being received?
Well, I think that there's a lot of pushback, in Democratic circles to this comment, given that there is broad support among the Jewish voters for certain Democratic candidates. There's been support for Republican candidates as well, obviously. But I think there's a pushback to the idea of the president painting with such an extreme and a broad brush when talking about, the idea of Jewish voters supporting Democratic candidates. So I think that there's likely to be a lot of continued pushback. But this is like many of the feuds that Trump instigates, not likely to change a lot of voters' minds.
And in the time we have left here, more policy by Twitter, I think you could argue, with the president canceling a state visit to Denmark over this Greenland real estate idea. What is happening now?
Yeah, I think if you told us a week ago that this issue was going to be one that was going to blow up and swallow so much of the news cycle over the last week, I think we would have both been surprised. Basically, Trump has now, in this latest sort of iteration of this row that he's started with Denmark, has said that he's going to cancel his state visit, which had been planned for early September. It was going to be his first state visit to Denmark, and he'd been invited at the request of the Queen to come to Denmark. And basically now he's saying that in light of Denmark very, you know, firmly and vocally ruling out the idea of the U.S. purchasing Greenland, that he's not going to do that visit, and he'll reschedule it for another time.
Just a few seconds left here. How does this set up the G7? Obviously, many allies of Denmark and the U.S. at that gathering.
Well, I think it just kind of puts the other European countries on notice that Trump doesn't necessarily conform to traditional alliances, and that he's willing to, put those alliances, in jeopardy if he does feel like their U.S. interest is not being served.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thank you. A lot going on in August in D.C. And you can read more about what's happening in the nation's capital on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington as well at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. It's coming up to 6:56 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Tara LaChapelle, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Apple, AT&T, Disney, and Netflix are spending billions of dollars on so much new video streaming content that there will be little reason for you to leave your couch in the coming months. This week, Apple gave a taste of what it's been working on for its soon-to-come Apple TV Plus app. It released a trailer for an original series called The Morning Show, starring Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon. Apple is said to be spending a whopping $300 million for the first two seasons of that show alone. Disney has reportedly spent about $120 million, the cost of a big-budget film, to produce its Star Wars series, The Mandalorian, for the November launch of the Disney Plus app. AT&T is rolling out a product called HBO Max later this year, and it's reportedly paying $425 million just to carry the old series Friends for 5 years. With all these new apps, it's certainly not getting any easier to find your favorite programs, or any cheaper to access them all. But at least there will be no shortage of stuff to watch. I'm Tara LaChapelle. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. We continue to watch shares of Target. They're up 13% this morning after it met rival Walmart's results with its own strong quarter, illustrating the ongoing resilience of discounters amid the struggles of the broader retail industry. Also watching Lowe's up 9.3% gained as profit from the last quarter topped analyst estimates. Right now, futures are higher as well, up about 22 points. Dow futures up 169, and NASDAQ futures are up 66. The 10-year Treasury down 9/32, the yield 1.58%, and the euro 1.1101. Straight ahead, it's Bloomberg Surveillance with Jonathan Farrow and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.